Hello, everyone. Welcome to our Sunday night blessing. So good to be back with you again on this Sunday evening. Now, as we launch into these next few moments, just want to open up your spirits and your understanding, give you some exciting news. And well, the good news is God is still in control. Well, I know that's kind of a cliche, a worn out statement, but he is. And thank God he is. This is going to be a good week. We're going to see some supernatural things happen this week. And I'm encouraging you to speak it out. Speak out what you have in your heart. Declare it. Say it with faith. Amen. Amen. Say it with faith. Well, I want to talk about the visible God, not the invisible God, the visible God. And as we get into it today, let me remind you that these Sunday night broadcasts, these live Sunday night broadcasts, are going to expand as I increase my ability to do live broadcasting with all the technology. But next week, as we have it planned, I have a friend of mine, a pastor friend of mine, longtime worker in the kingdom, is going to be with me. We're going to talk about the process of growing, walking in the Lord, and ministering in the kingdom of God. Next Sunday night, John Zumwalt from Sutherland, Oregon, great pastor, great man of God, is going to be with me. So don't miss next Sunday night. And I believe if it works as I see it planned, we'll have that happen on quite a few occasions as God directs me to some of these brothers and sisters that need to have a voice into your life as well as my voice. Now, let's be reminded that you don't have to be standing in line to hear the voice of the Lord. We are not little potentates that you have to go to. But what happens from the pastor and the evangelist and the prophet and the teacher and so forth? We are motivators. We are applicators. We stir faith. We give vision so that you then can take the baton on into your own race, on into your own trajectory, and hear the voice of the Lord for yourself. It's never healthy for someone to hear the voice of the Lord through someone else forever. It's not a healthy system when you have to go to a spiritual leader to know what God's doing in your life. So don't do it. Amen. Okay, well, let's go to Job. I've got a few scriptures we're going to read tonight. Now, remember, Sunday night is a little different than our morning broadcast, and we'll have a little more teaching and time for Bible research in some condensed way. Job 12 and 22 says, "He uncovers deep things out of darkness." That's part of the phrase in that Job 12:22. God uncovers the deep things that are hid in darkness, brings him out of darkness. Now, the word darkness often has connected to it danger, evil, and scary stuff in the dark. Well, really, the darkness that's referred to when God is involved is when it's in the God world. It's the mysteries that he hides from us until we're ready for it. It's called darkness. So he reveals out of that darkness. He reveals truth and revelation. Every one of us, if we've been born again very long, and not that long, actually, you have had things revealed to you that you did not know the day before or the week before or last year. I just didn't know this. Now, don't let me shock you. I've been in this thing for a while. I started on the gospel, active gospel ministry some time ago. It keeps changing, so I have to keep changing my math. Over 60 years, 65 years. And I am discovering out of that mystery, that dark mystery where God hides things until, and I'm discovering things and I'm saying, God, Father, why did you wait so long? Well, the answer is always the same. Because you weren't ready for it, son. I tried to give it to you 20 years ago and you just passed it by. That happens quite a bit along the journey, doesn't it? So I encourage you today to allow the Lord to bring out of the shadows the dark recessed mysteries of God. Bring it out. What Paul say? That these things have been hid from generation to ages and ages, but now is revealed, which is this, Christ in you, the hope of glory. There was no way that the Old Testament saints could comprehend the fact that Christ, that the Messiah was going to come into them. Now, remember Peter in the New Testament, and especially the traitor, you know, the other disciple, Judas, almost passed it out of my mind. Judas, he was looking for a conquering hero. He was looking for an emperor, a Caesar, a little Jesus Caesar. They thought he was going to come up, set a throne, overpower Rome. Israel was going to be the center of the world, and on and on. They did not see the spiritual side of this. Now, they couldn't imagine the Messiah coming and living in the hearts of men and women like he is with us. So that was a mystery that was hid. God hid that from them. Now, I tell you, there's other mysteries about angels, about the host of heaven, about the cloud of witnesses, about the 24 elders, about the throne of God, about the levels, the layers and the levels of heaven. And oh my goodness, on and on. So what do? We walk in the light we have. And if we walk in the light, now that means revelation, walk in the revelation, walk in the understanding. When I started out, I preached Jesus saves and heals. That's all I knew, and that was good enough. I got launched. I preached Dad's sermons and Oral Roberts' sermons. Not as good as they did, but I used their notes. And I got started. But as I developed, revelation came. I began to hear what I was. I began to find out who I was. I began to hear what God had for me. I began to interact with God, and he began to tell me what was my vision, my calling, and so forth. So it is with you. As you allow the Lord to be visible in your life. Now, I know, if you're listening to me today, you have insight and vision and faith. So we're not trying to say this to you, perhaps, but you can maybe say it to someone else. Well, not maybe, need to. Let me read another scripture for you out of Romans. I love this one. Romans 1:19. I'm in the Amplified. I just like the Amplified gives a little bit of extra boost. And if you're like me, you've read the Bible so much that sometimes you can phase out or kind of blank out when you're reading some of the familiar verses. You've read them so long that you just kind of skim over them. But the Amplified breaks it up. It's like plowing the ground again. I like that's why what I like about the Amplified and other translations like the Mirror Bible. I'm enjoying that one also at this time. Romans 1:19 says, for that which is known about God is evident to them, and made plain in their inner consciousness, because God himself has shown it to them. There's no one without excuse. I know, you know someone that's never heard the gospel. You know someone that's never been to church. You know someone that doesn't know, has never heard the name of Jesus. But Paul said that there is no one without excuse. Now, that's got to have some weight to that statement, because we believe Paul had a pretty good handle on the gospel. After all, he gave us 13 epistles, and he was the apostle's apostle, if there ever was one. And so he said that all men have had a witness of the Lord. Now, what does it say here in the 20th verse? For ever since the creation of the world, his invisible nature and attributes, that is, his eternal power and divine nature, have been made intelligible and clearly discernible in and through the things that have been made. Whoa. So, what's this thing about the worship of nature? Wow. Mother Earth. And hug a tree. On and on. Well, the enemy comes along, knows that the witness of God is in nature, so he pushes them into worshiping nature. And they miss the whole story about nature. Evolution is so, got so many holes in it. You have to have faith to believe in evolution, more so than you have faith in a God you can't see in the natural eye, I believe. I love the illustration about the guy said, for a man or a woman, a human, to be developed and birthed and come into who we are, because David said we're fearfully and wonderfully made, for us to be that out of a swamp, out of the slime of some scum on top of the pond, and develop into a frog and then a monkey and so forth, would be like a tornado blowing through a junkyard, and out the other side comes a 747. that's about as amazing or miracle that would have happened. Well, we know it wouldn't happen because God created us. Okay, I sidetracked myself. For ever since the creation, he said, they have been made plain and visible through the things that have been made, his handiworks. So men are without excuse, although without, altogether without any defense or justification. Have you ever heard someone say, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to tell God a thing or two? Yeah. Okay. Moving right along. Doesn't work that way. The visible God. Now, Psalms 19:1. I like this. Out of the Amplified. The heavens declare his glory. The glory of God, and the firmament shows and proclaims his handiwork. Okay. The church that I've come up through had very little to say about the stars, because the world, took it over and became stargazers and star worshipers and astrologers, and try to predict the future through the stars. Scripture says that all through history, the stars have spoke of his creation. There's some real good books from Christian writers on how the stars speak. Too much content for me to even bring it up here. And the fact that I'm not a real expert on it, I've read them. I believe it's true when God says that all creation speaks of him, and the stars are part of that. So look into it. It's a very, very interesting subject. How the stars, well, the Bible says they sing. There's a dark mystery we could look into. All right. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows and proclaims his handiwork. Day after day pours forth speech. Whoa. Does that just say that the heavens speak? Speech. Are you hearing something? I am. I'm hearing nature speak to me. I know in the simple form or simple way I could say that, nature, you go out into a meadow with a pond and a little campfire and a tent. I'm telling you, there's some things speaking to me just thinking about it. I could put a fishing pole in. Ah, they're talking my language now. No, that may be a simplification of what this means, but nature does speak to us. Day after day pours forth speech, and night after night shows forth knowledge. There is no speech nor spoken word from the stars. Their voice is not heard, yet their voice in evidence goes out through all the earth. Their sayings to the end of the world, of the heavens has God made a tent for the sun. So, they don't talk our language. We don't hear them in our ears, but their voice goes to all the world. Now, why would I bring this up today about the visible God? Because I believe that you need to see God in everything around you. You need to have such a God consciousness, not just the fact that you're saved and you're not going to sin and you're going to go to heaven someday, but the whole environment that we walk in. Now, what this does for us, it doesn't give us an escape mentality where we're just waiting to get out of this dirty, rotten world, but we begin to grasp the beauty of what is around us and where God put us. God put me for more longer than I expected in the Northwest. I was born in California, and there's some spots on earth that are really nice. I'd like to live there, but God's not allowed me to live there. We tried to live in Virginia. That lasted a few months, and God sent us back to the Northwest. And because of that, I believe God has given me a place to enjoy and to minister in and to give in my life for. So I'm in the Northwest. Someone said to me the other day, yeah, it only rains once here for 9 months. Well, that's a little humorous, but I tell you, there's times when it's really gloomy and times when it's really beautiful. But there's something about being content in the state you're in. I had to go live with my uncle when I was about 14. He lived in California. And he was a Christian and a preacher, but he was kind of hard on me. And I was complaining. And he said, George, the Bible says you're to be content in whatever state you're in, California. Well, I don't know if I believed it then. I don't believe it now. But whatever position, place you're in at the moment, be content, because out of contentment comes the ability to hear, the ability to have faith, the ability to see past the problem, the ability to have revelation. If you're if you're discontented, you're discontentment. You see, that's all the devil needs to do is just throw a little distraction in your way. That's what temptation is, you know, is distraction. Temptation is just to get you off the focus. If you're a golfer, I'm a former golfer, haven't picked a club up in a long time, but there's a unwritten rule. It may be written, but I tell you, if you break it, you get in trouble. Don't make any noise when I'm up to swing my, especially when I'm putting. Don't say a word. I'm concentrated. Why? Because it's a distraction that will break my focus and I'll make a missed shot and miss the hole. So it is with temptation. So it is with worry and fear and all those things that just rattle around at us just to get us off the target. Texting while driving is illegal for a purpose because it takes your attention off of what you're supposed to be doing. And that's aiming a 5,000-pound car along with other, you know, 2-ton vehicles down a freeway at 70 miles an hour. You're supposed to be focused. Don't text. Don't call on the phone without the right equipment. And don't comb your hair and eat a sandwich and look for a tape in the floor, you know, or a music on the radio. Okay, sidetrack. Focus. Why is God supposed to be visible, and why should we see him in everything? To keep us on focus. Keep us on focus. I've heard one story especially that sticks in my mind about a sailor that went down with a ship, or the boat sunk, and he swam all night until he got to shore. And he said the thing that kept him going was a picture and a vision of his mother right in front of him saying, "Come on, son, you can make it." Now, that sounds supernatural to me. Sounds like God was on his side working with him. But just that idea of putting something in your face, seeing God. The old prophet said in the Old Testament, "I see the Lord high and lifted up, and his train fills the temple." Now, that train wasn't a choo-choo train. It was the drapings of a kingly entrance where the, you know, the royal robe had, that's almost like a bridal train flowing down behind him, filled the temple. He was so, such a grand entrance. "I see the Lord high and lifted up." Amen. Keep it before you. Be amazed with God every day. That's what happens when you fall in love with someone. You just can't get them out of your mind. You think about them all the time. You want to call them on the phone. You know, FaceTime them now, you know, see their face again. Write letters. Oh, I remember the early days of writing letters back and forth and waiting at the mailbox way before technology would let you do it any other way. Get that letter and get into your private little chamber, you know, wherever you could be alone, and open it gently and pull it out and look for the handwriting that you knew so well, and listen, and just listen to the voice of your loved one, the one you were in love with, speaking back to you. That's what it's like to be in love with God. You break the book open, you go into the closet, And you greet the Father in your chamber of prayer, where you begin to have face-to-face time with him. The love of God. Amen. Well, Romans 8 and 9 out of the Mirror Bible. I want to give that to you before we skip out on this Sunday night blessing one more time. What a joy it is to be together with you. Thank you for joining me. And one of the benefits of this is that this broadcast is going to be preserved, and then it goes out and goes out and keeps going out. And many, many people will join along in the next week or two. So I greet them also, and thank God for this ability we have to speak these words to you. Romans 8 and 9 in the Mirror Bible. 8 and 9 in the Mirror Bible. Okay, here we are. "But you are not ruled by a flesh consciousness, the law of works, but by a spirit consciousness, faith." Faith is a spiritual thing. "God's spirit is at home in you. Anyone who does not see themselves fully clothed and identified in the spirit of Christ cannot be themselves." Oh, boy. Is that a hot button? "Anyone who does not know that Christ has clothed us with himself," like a robe, cannot be themselves. Well, I tell you this. If you will begin to see God in all these things and know that he has put on you the robe of righteousness, and you know that he dwells within you, I tell you, it'll make a difference in who you see yourself as. And when you begin to see yourself as God sees you, and you see yourself as Christ in you, the hope of glory, it will make such a big difference. You will not even know the old guy that was full of fear, full of unbelief, or at least full of nervousness. may not total unbelief, but sure, a lot of nervousness along the way. Is God going to show up? Is he really faithful? Now, I tell you, God is as close to you as your breath, and he's indwelling you by his Spirit, and he covers you with his robe, and he guards you with his angels. The Spirit of God gives you wisdom, gives you insight, gives you the knowledge of the Lord, and he reveals the deep things of God. The mysteries of God are revealed as you move in and walk with him every day. Amen. Wow. I tell you, the more that you walk with the Father and understand his love for you, the more relaxed and the more ease that you have, not laziness and sleepiness, but just the peace of knowing you're with a companion that you don't have to dance around in the sense of, I hope he likes me and or hope she likes me and all those things. Reflecting back on the early days of dating and romancing. Does she like me? The old clover thing. She loves me. She loves me not. She loves me. You pull a clover out one leaf at a time. That insecurity of love until one day she says or he says, I love you. And all of a sudden, the peace comes and the assurance comes. And you're not stumbling over yourself anymore. You're not hoping against hope. You're not wishing that, I hope she loves me. She said, or he said, I love you. And then the attributes of love begin to be shown. The attentiveness, the notes of kindness, and the gifts. And then it progresses until, of course, the marriage comes. And then the ongoing celebration of that love until there's a place in your life where all nervousness is gone. There's no more doubt that partner you're with will protect you, have your back, as they say, take you out of danger, protect you along the way. That's the love of God as you grow with him. Amen. Well, I want to pray for you today on our Sunday night blessing before we say goodnight. And then don't forget, tomorrow morning we kick off the week. We're with you every morning of the week. Trust you can make some of them, if not all of them. And remember, they are on Facebook and YouTube. So don't miss that. Also, our Faith Producers Facebook also has a place for you to go. And there's some things on there that are not on the personal Facebook. So I just encourage you to do that. Amen. Father, I thank you for this time together. I thank you for those that have been with me today. I thank you for the word of God that never fails, never misses a target. It will always come to its conclusion. It will always bring that thing that was promised. It will not delay. And Lord, I encourage those that are with me today to be steady to stay on target, not be distracted by the temptation of doubt or the temptation of fear or nervousness or worry. Lord God, we believe that you are visible in everything around us, and we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your love, and we thank you for the mercy of God that gives us that satisfied feeling. Amen. Well, I bless you. Thank you for your sharing. Thank you for your subscribing. Thank you for sharing this with someone else. It's somebody you know that would be encouraged with these encounters together as we meet regularly. Tell them about it. Really appreciate that. Thank you for also for your prayers. Some of you have noted, have sent me notes and say you're praying for us. And also, some of you have been nudged of the Lord to send us a financial support. Thank you for that, because we walk by faith and believe God will supply those needs. Gives us gas in our tank, in Jesus' name. Well, until next week at this same time at 6 o'clock, and we're going to have a special guest with us, John Zumwalt, pastor out of Southern Oregon, will be with us. We'll be talking about the kingdom of God and get some insight in those areas. Until tomorrow morning, I will see you then. God bless.